it's Halloween, Josh?
Well, actually, when this airs, it'll be a little bit before Halloween.
Okay, so it's a little bit before Halloween. But, hey, bonus points if you can figure out what we used as our theme song.
Yeah, I know week. Scott knows, but
well, that's
it's
because
not,
I'm staring at the YouTube.
it's not the common theme you would think of for a Halloween episode.
Exactly.
Show. Now, we've done two of these in the past, so we're running out of Halloween shit to talk about, kinda. So, let's actually just talk about Halloween itself, the history, its evolution. In my opinion, its de-evolution in modern days to... We'll get to that. You as a pagan, can you take us back to the origins of Halloween?
Well, sure. And it's very interesting. It started mainly with the Celts and with a holiday that they call Samhain. Now, most people look at the way it's spelled and they go, yeah, Samhain. But no,
even the band Samhain pronounces it Samhain. And
right,
it's like,
but it's Samhain or Samhain.
Can I just make a smart-ass comment
sure,
before
go
you
right
get
ahead.
Actually all serious?
Sure.
Why are they called the Celts when the basketball team is spelled the same way, but they're the Celtics? Shouldn't they be the Celtics? You don't say the Boston Celtics. You say the Boston Celtics.
It's because Boston...
just bastardized it?
Fucked up, basically.
Because, see, I always grew up calling them the Celts because...
because of
the
Celtics. No.
And it just, to me, is weird. I've always just made a weird smart-ass comparison with
that. Because it's an Americanization, because you see C-E and you expect the C to have the S sound. I mean, S and K were doing fine just on their own, and then C came along and went, screw you.
Oh, fuck you, I'm messing up this
whole
system.
Both of you. But you see C-E and people expect it to be the Celtics just because of the rules of English, and so it stuck that way. But...
so it seemed weird to go, yeah, I'm rooting for the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, but that's what they're originally supposed to be.
I'm just
Boston
because
is just
when you said,
filled with Irish people. Because
when you said Celts, it just made me think of that. So
that's no problem.
Okay, I'm done being a smart
but
ass
any,
for
but
now.
Anyway, you know, the holiday, I mean, if you really go back to old times, it's a harvest festival. This is the new year. This is, you know, it's the longest... well,
the end of the growing season.
The end of the growing season, the harvest festival comes around, and they always celebrated, well, not really celebrated, but they always had rituals surrounding the solstice of this time of year, and that's the longest night, because you've got the equinox where day and night is equal, and then you've got the solstices where either it's the longest day or longest night. This is the longest night. And it originally started out as a harvest festival. Look at all this stuff we have for the winter. We've got enough. We're going to make it through. Let's celebrate that. And since it's the longest night of the year, you don't get much work done during the day, and you have all this time to sit around and think. And if you're an ancient Celt, your mind goes to your ancestors. It's an ancestry-based worship system.
The way I've always heard it was like the barrier between the living and the dead is the weakest at this time. So
yeah,
can...
that's one of the things that they... and that was popularized not with the Celts themselves. That was popularized during the spiritualist movement.
Okay.
Of the... 1800s, late 17, early 1800s, and it was always on this the longest night of the year, the veil between the worlds is the thinnest, and so shamans and soothsayers would always say, because this is the longest night and I have the most amount of time to concentrate on what I'm doing, I'm going to do a really good job of seeing into the future. And the spiritualists,
divination.
Yeah, divination and stuff like that. The spiritualists came along and said, because it's the longest night of the year and we've got really nothing else to do, I guess the veil between the worlds is nice and thin so we can talk to the dead and learn about the future and the past and all this and that and the moon and the stars and all of that. And so that's where that got popularized. Of course, along with this comes... plenty of legend. We have jack-o'-lanterns, which originally
turnips.
Originally were turnips.
And now I've heard one historian on that History Channel documentary that they show every year on the history of Halloween, that they talk about how making the jack-o'-lantern out of the American pumpkin, which, you know, they didn't have
right
over there, is actually a bastardization. And I'm thinking, no, because I think it's a lot more interesting to carve it into a pumpkin. It's a lot easier, and it just makes more sense than carving a fucking turnip, doesn't it?
That's a big part of it. Have you ever tried to carve a turnip?
No, I haven't. I just can imagine it's a difficult concept.
They are hard as hell. They're kind of small, and they're not easy to hollow out.
But I mean, do you consider that a bastardization of the tradition of Jack the Lantern was the original way?
Right.
Do you consider that a bastardization to take the Americanized version of the pumpkin?
I don't think it's a bastardized version. I think it's a product of its time. We were over here in the States, and somebody said, "Hey, we don't have a whole lot of turnips, but holy crap, look at these big orange gourds!" You know,
yeah, there's these big orange things we didn't have in exactly. the old country.
And so, and you know, your average pumpkin is a little bit bigger than your average turnip too, and I think that plays a part as well. Well, you may have that lousy little turnip, but good God, look at my Jack! It's gigantic.
Well, and think about it as a light source. You carve that, and that jack-o'-lantern puts off a decent yes. amount of light. A turnip, not really.
They work as little lamps, but not so much. But no, I don't see it as a bastardization. I see it as a product of the times. And, you know, what could you grow over here? Well, turnips didn't grow all that well, but these big orange gourds did. So we use the big orange gourds, and you take them out and you bake the seeds, and those are tasty. So, hey, everybody wins.
Oh, and then you can't leave out the part of the history where the church, and this is not coming from my atheism, the church is the villain in what we now know of as Halloween. How the church, when they started to move into the Celts, they didn't like them keeping their pagan rituals, so they declared November 1st to be All Saints Day.
Right, All Saints Eve and All Saints Day.
And then so October 31st became All Saints Evening.
Right.
And the Celts kept celebrating their festivals. So the church was trying to be a little more reasonable than, you know, Spanish Inquisition time and, you know, trying to accommodate them. And eventually that turned into the Hallowest Evening before All Saints Day, which eventually turned into All Hallows Eve, which turns into Halloween with a V,
right.
which eventually turned into Hallo apostrophe Ween, which eventually turned into Halloween.
Right.
I get the history relatively. I mean, I broadened it, but
yeah, you got the history pretty good. And there have been recent additions to it, including Devil's Night, October 30th being Devil's Night, and
or every night in Detroit. Sorry, Detroit. Don't pick on them people. They're living in Mad Max times.
Detroit has a rich and colorful history of
burning down
of once being a great city. Once.
And now burning shit down.
Now it's kind of a hollow city. But, hey. But yeah, you've got recent ones of Devil's Night and, of course, across the pond over in England this time of year, they have Bonfire Night, which...
They also have... there's a holiday right around Halloween. Is it Guy Fawkes Day?
Yes, Guy Fawkes Day, November 5th.
Yeah, so a lot of people kind of... merge the two celebrations into one. I've talked to some of our British listeners and they're like, we celebrate Halloween and Guy Fawkes Day kind of as one big week-long festival
yes.
kind of thing.
Yes. And that was one of the greatest things about going to school over in England was this time of year for a week straight. You've got somewhere near you is a big ass bonfire. And so, there was one celebration of Bonfire Night that I went to that was actually put on by the college that I was attending. And what they had done was they had taken all of the Christmas trees from the local village and shoved them into a storage unit the year before.
And forgot about them?
And they sat in that storage unit all year long until Bonfire Night came around. And we burnt something like one big bonfire made up of like 50 or 60 old Christmas trees that had been drying out for almost a year.
Well, we're going to talk about some of the American traditions in a little bit.
Sure.
Or what we call American. They're actually the Irish traditions.
Well, they're
American.
They're
American
now.
Yes. But we also need to talk about witches and the symbols of Halloween. The symbols we have of like the bat and the black cat and the owl.
All of these are relatively recent.
But they're all based in fact, because what, you know, let's for the sake of argument just say witches would have the big bonfires, which would attract insects to the flame, which would attract bats to eat the insects, which would attract owls to eat the bats.
Yes.
So these things kind of, they're all part of nature. It was kind of just a natural progression. There was no reason an owl and a bat were associated with a witch other than fuckers had a bonfire going. Bugs showed up, bats showed up, owls showed up. That's how it works.
And since the reason we had a bonfire, by the way, were the pagans.
Right, but in order to dance around it, it's a natural progression. Right. It really was.
The one symbol that I always laugh at, and it's, we have a stained glass version hanging in our kitchen right now, which is funny, but you've always seen the witch riding the broomstick.
Yep. That was a way to get high.
Yeah, do you know where that comes from?
I'm going to guess women getting high.
The vast majority of witches of old were female. Oh. In the modern version is very goddess.
Yeah,
but,
you talked about
but,
that before.
Even in ancient times, they recognized the goddess, and this was one of the times when... Anyway, you would take your broomstick and douse it in various herbs.
Hallucinogenic chemicals?
Maybe hallucinogenic, not necessarily, but you would douse it in herbs and chemicals and stuff from the natural world, and then the women would ride the broomsticks, not in the way that you're thinking, but... In the the broomstick
insertion
yes,
kind of way.
Yeah, exactly. The old
rectum. I nearly killed him.
Yeah, the old sit and spin version. And it was
it
a
was
way
very
to,
masturbatory. Yes.
Yes, it was a way to get high, and so the old picture of a witch riding a broomstick came out of that.
That's also kind of a Christian bastardization of that.
Yes.
Because the Christian church really tried to make this evil and wrong,
right,
and to try and discourage it, so
exactly.
They had to put the worst face they could,
exactly.
Which is also where it came up with the whole deals with the devil, and you know the witches, you know, the devil's concubine and all this shit, because they wanted to, it all depended on who was Pope at the time, and I'm not kidding.
No, the
Pope would, some of them were a lot more lenient and kind of, you know, let them have their thing, but let's kind of water it down so there are Christian principles in it. And others are, damn them, we will destroy all paganism henceforth. So it all depended on what Pope was in charge at the time, depended on whether they were allowed to practice their rituals with a little Christian doctrine thrown in,
exactly,
or Salem witch trial kind of shit.
Exactly.
So that was all whichever Pope was in charge at the time.
Yeah. And as for going and getting candy,
that is an Irish tradition,
mm-hmm,
that was brought over here. Because when we got all the Irish settlers in the early 1900s, they brought all their traditions with them. And as they started to go through their traditions, you got to remember, the candy stuff came later. I'm not saying this to you because I know you know it. The candy stuff came later. They would have the prank night. So they would go and soap people's windows and, you know, cow tipping, and they would take people's furniture, they'd break into their house, and then go up and nail it all to the roof, on the roof and things like that. And you got to remember, in the olden times, that's awful inconvenient to do that shit.
Oh, yes.
So they came up with the idea, let's placate the youths. And to do that, we'll give them an offering. Here's a piece of, you know, some sort of candy or treat. Don't play a trick on me. It was sort of a payoff, is what it really comes down to.
Right.
You'd go around the neighborhood, every kid would go and get their payoff to not play a prank on you.
Mm-hmm.
That's really where the whole trick-or-treating thing comes for. And that's where even the whole trick or treat
exactly
comes from.
Exactly. It really was, you give me something or I'm going to nail your furniture to the roof.
Yeah. It's, you know, pay me, motherfucker.
Yeah.
And then some of the other traditions, the Halloween parties and whatnot, you have to remember, this is at a time when travel was not nearly as easy as it is today. So you had strong local communities. So you'd have a strong local gathering, you know, and even some people that were traveling would just go to whatever the local gathering was at the time.
Exactly. And again, it roots back to it being a harvest festival. It was usually a time to, you know, you would have the miller bring some of his flour for the baker to make the bread for,
and then you'd grab the apples for the party.
You've got the orchardist, the apple grower bringing his fruit in for the party and stuff like that. And it was a way for the community to come together and go, look, we have this abundant harvest. Have some. It was also traditionally, and it's funny you should mention the Pope, but one of the other deals of this being a harvest festival. Now we all know that spring is for, you know, the bunnies are for fucking, the eggs are for fertility.
Yeah.
So that was the time to expand your family. The time to meet the person to expand your family with in the springtime was now. And so it was also very much a time.
Would you say a paternity festival?
Open courtship. Not even really a paternity. No. Open courtship. This was one of the nights when me being a pauper could go to the landowner and make my intentions known with his daughter, or at least let him know that I'm interested in.
Kind of offer your seed as it is?
No. Stop. Take the sex out of it. Because remember, this is the sex came later, okay. But this is a time when we've got this social ladder in place where, if you are, for lack of a better word, of nobility, or landowner, a wealthy person in the community,
fat cat,
you weren't approached by the poor, you weren't approached by the local blacksmith.
Yeah, you paid people to keep them away from you.
Exactly. You would approach them and talk to them, but they weren't really allowed to approach you. This is a night when those social norms were relaxed. It's where part of the masquerade came from. You don't know who's rich and who's poor anymore. And so the poor could flirt with the rich could flirt with the poor, you know, the noble's daughter could slum it a little bit for a night. And again, not even in a sexual way, but just in a social interaction way.
Which also brings up another aspect that Halloween, even though now it's very much more of an adult holiday than it is for kids, that's the way it started. These were festivals and celebrations for adults.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times the parties were adult oriented parties. And I don't mean like, you know, old wooden dildos and stuff.
Yeah, the dildo or anything like that.
It was, kids were not invited. These were adult social gatherings,
right,
where they would dress up and whatnot. And then the kids, that's when they would go out and play their tricks. So then it was sort of, well, we need to fold the children into this in some way. So then the whole trick or treat thing. And then why don't we let them dress up? So then people don't know who they are. You know, it gives them an anonymity as it is.
Exactly. And then from the first 50 years of the 20th century or so, it morphed again into that kids' holiday.
I'd say it was still kid-friendly to about the mid-80s.
Yeah. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. Through the first 50 years, it morphed from an adult into that kids and then stayed a kids' holiday until relatively recently. But, you know, and that's why you have things like the Monster Mash, obviously a song clearly aimed at children, even in its
Boris
contemporary
Pickett
day. Yeah. And that's why you had the Halloween, you know, the Halloween specials from Garfield and Fat Albert. And
well, even before that, lots of Halloween radio specials.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was part of the thing to keep kids at home. You know, hey kids, we're going to have a special inner sanctum, you know, for Halloween. Make be at your radios.
Yeah.
You know, to keep the kids off the street. So like at, say, 8 p.m., they'd have all these radio shows on Halloween night to make sure the kids were not on the street after dark.
Right.
So yeah, it was all built about, you know, keeping kids behaving is really what it comes down to.
Yeah, same as Santa. But you know, and so it kind of morphs into this kids. And here recently now we've had people like you and I who did this as kids who get a little nostalgic this time of year and say, screw it. I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care. I'm an adult and I'm going to go have fun. And so it's kind of changing back into another.
It's much more of an adult holiday. I saw a thing. It was last year Halloween. I don't remember what channel it was. One of the news stations had a thing on how Halloween has adult Halloween has completely eclipsed children's Halloween. Adult costume sales are almost triple what children costume sales are.
Yeah.
You know, adult parties are massively more popular than children's parties. That this has become an adult holiday.
And by the way, one thing I gotta say about modern Halloween, and I'm speaking to the women out there.
I love sluts.
We appreciate the slutty costumes. I really do. But okay. You don't have to be one. That's what I'm saying. You can go out as a nurse if you're not a nurse, and not you don't have to go out as a slutty nurse. You can go out as a witch or a ghost, and you don't have to be a slutty witch or a slutty ghost. Don't get me wrong. I love the slutty costumes.
What's your fucking problem here?
My problem is
I love the Halloween sluts.
I know, but
especially the plus size BBWs. Oh god, that's fucking hot. You know I'm into big girls.
I know.
So, fuck you.
No, I'm not a big girl. I'm not even a girl.
You know, but it became an adult thing.
I am big though, baby.
And then you also had, like, going to our lifetimes, we saw this huge progression of Halloween just from 1975 on.
Sure.
You know, you saw all the things about, you know, the razor blades and apples, needles and apples.
Yeah, there was the backlash in the 80s for the weird, weird backlash in the 80s that was.
And there were only three confirmed cases of that ever happening. And all three were by family members trying to kill another family member. So this whole random, I'm just going to put needles in an apple. That shit has never happened in America. Exactly. Just reminds me of that scene in Halloween 2 where the kid comes to the ER with a razor blade stuck in his teeth. Ah, does that fucking hurt my teeth just to think about that scene?
Yeah, God, it does. That's an owie.
But, you know, you had that, and then you had every TV show of the 80s, not even so much the 70s, but of the 80s, had a Halloween episode, didn't they? You know, it didn't matter if you were a drama, if you were a sci-fi show, if you were an anthology show, a sitcom, whatever. You had a Halloween-themed episode.
Oh, yeah.
And those were always, maybe not the best, but the funnest, if there's a difference there.
Not all of them were well-written, that's for sure. But,
I mean, dude, Baywatch, when that was on NBC in its first season, had a serial killer in a mask episode for their late October episode.
But they were fun. Yeah, they were always fun. And you always, you know, I could imagine CSI today or any of the procedurals would be almost like a Scooby-Doo episode where these crimes
are... Old Man Jenkins!
Well, these crimes are happening and they seem to be supernatural and nobody can quite explain it. And then
they actually did that. The CSI New York from 2 or 3 years ago, which was directed by Joe Dante, by the way. That was like that. It all seemed supernatural and a haunted house and a family went missing and blah, blah, blah. And the CSIs eventually figured it out. And then the other story was about a zombie, a guy who was dressed as a zombie, but he got hit on the head to the point where he was literally wandering around bleeding, just going, because he was slowly bleeding to death. So people thought a zombie was really loose. The Joe Dante CSI New York did that a couple of years ago.
Yeah, you know, but it's kind of fun, and they used to have fun with that. We've talked in the past about Roseanne. Roseanne would go all the hell out for Halloween.
Progressively getting more ridiculous.
Right.
The first couple were, I can see that. Then after a while where they're blowing the house up for the tag, and you kind of go, all right, okay, fine, whatever.
Yeah, and then of course, The Simpsons always had their Treehouse of Horror, which
they didn't. See, you just made the common mistake with the Treehouse of Horror.
Okay.
The first three were called The Simpsons Halloween Special. Okay. It did not get called Treehouse of Horror until the fourth one.
Right.
The first three were the Simpsons Halloween Special, Simpsons Halloween Special 2, and Simpsons Halloween Special 3.
Okay, excuse me. I'm sorry. For 18 years, the Simpsons had their Treehouse of Horror, and then they had three Halloween specials that weren't Treehouse of Horror.
Well, okay, a listener actually asked us to talk about the Simpsons Halloween Specials / Treehouse of Horrors.
What the fuck happened to them?
Did you see this year's?
No.
I really am not trying to sound like comic book guy. That was the worst episode that this series has ever put on. There was not even...
Actually, I did. I saw part of it.
It was horrendous.
I saw the Paranormal Activity send up.
Oh.
And that was... Yeah, it was not good.
They have nothing to do with Halloween anymore, whatsoever. Even the wraparounds don't have anything to do with Halloween any longer. And... It was 2 or 3 years ago. One of the segments was a Transformers parody set at Christmas time. Because, yeah, when I'm thinking Halloween, I want to see giant robots battling each other around Christmas trees. What the... Is it this Adult Swim style of, you know, almost the Phalus style thing? I'm going to do everything the audience hates because that's now funny. Is it almost something like that with the Simpsons writers?
No, I don't know.
Or is it just they are that phoning it in that they just don't care anymore?
I don't know. I really don't know the answer to that.
Because those first 6 or 7 Treehouse of Horror Halloween specials were damn good. They felt like Halloween.
And they still hold up.
Yeah, and they still hold up. And these last couple, I dare you to name one segment from the last 7 years worth of Halloween specials or Treehouse of Horrors, and you're going to go... I don't know, because they're just that forgettable.
Yeah.
But if I ask you to name any from the first 6 years, I bet you can name all of them because they are so iconic and they had to do with Halloween. And part of that is Fox itself, because of, you know, the ending of baseball and the starting of the football season, they started not even airing the Halloween special until early November for a few years. And you go, what's the point?
Yeah.
Just what's the point then?
Yeah.
Don't even make one then. This is stupid. You don't air the Halloween special on November 12th.
Yeah, that's kind of dumb.
Well, I mean, think about the same kind of stupid corporate logic. Remember that amazing movie Trick or Treat?
Trick or Treat, yeah.
Okay, that sat on the shelf for 3 years after its completion. Where Warner Brothers dumped it, 20th Century Fox dumped it, they could not find a distributor. Okay?
Okay.
At one point, 20th Century Fox, when they owned the rights to that, now this is a movie all about Halloween, dripping with Halloween mood, takes place on Halloween. It is absolutely one of the most perfect Halloween movies ever, right?
Right.
They wanted to release it on Valentine's Day to theaters. Some marketing executive thought... But well, because they thought it was a bomb, and see, February is the traditional month where studios release movies that are otherwise considered unreleasable. That's where they dump all the ones that they think are going to be bombs.
Okay.
So that actually at one point had a release date of February 14th.
Wow.
Because when I go to, you know, when I'm thinking of Halloween, I'm thinking, you know what? Valentine's Day. That's the day I want to see a movie about Halloween.
Speaking of which, that movie is actually in my Netflix queue. I should watch it.
I've got the DVD and the Blu-ray.
It's really good.
And well, speaking of that movie, I got to ask you this.
Sure.
Okay, you've admitted you're bisexual. You know, you get the Logo Channel, right?
I do.
Why does Trick or Treat qualify for the Logo Channel? It's been on that like 4 times already this month.
I don't know.
Because it's like, now, I am being satirical with what I'm about to say. I need to preface that so I don't get lots of hate mail. Is it maybe because Halloween now has become such a gay holiday because the gays have co-opted it that anything involving Halloween now qualifies as gay?
LostInTheStaticShow@gmail.com.
I qualified my statement, though, didn't I?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make it any less worse than
that's still offensive?
Yeah, pretty much.
I thought it was kind of a witty way to look at the situation, though, isn't it?
No, not really.
Screw you.
Because I don't really see Halloween as a gay holiday.
The gays love it.
Everybody loves it.
Not Johos.
Everybody loves it. Johos don't exist in my mind.
I just think it's funny that the Johos don't celebrate Halloween. I guess they don't like random people coming up to their door uninvited and ringing the doorbell, huh?
Right. For those of you wondering, Johos being Jehovah's Witnesses.
We've always called them Johos.
But
I mean, like, you know, when I saw Trick or Treat on logo, I'm like, okay, Anna Paquin is bisexual. Is that where they're getting it from? That sure. One of the stars there likes girls there, too? So is that the justification?
There it is. There
like
it is.
She's bisexual. But really, that's stretching it almost as much as Friday the 13th Part 8 on BET. And they did that because there's a black character that dies, you know, 20 minutes into the movie. So that's a BET movie, apparently.
Yeah, but we've talked about networks and their stupid programming decisions. But
no, this one dealt with Halloween because I was really curious why that was on the logo channel.
I don't know. I really don't.
All right.
Bravo, in theory, Bravo is out there to compete with A&E, who are both out there to compete with Ovation. When A&E has very little to do with arts and entertainment anymore, and Bravo is almost as gay as Logo.
So I was just curious about that. But, you know, like we said, there's all these Halloween specials, and there's all these really interesting Halloween, not even specials of like TV shows, but you have the local news coverage of the local Halloween, which always was fun. They don't do that hardly in anything anymore.
No, you always, I remember watching the Indianapolis station growing up. You always had that goofy weather guy on one of the stations.
Dressed as a vampire or something.
Yeah, dressed up for Halloween. One of them had well, at the time it was blue, but today it would be green. Yeah. You know, basically a body sock, and so he would do the weather,
and all
you would see would be his head and his hands, and he would do the weather like that, and it was, you know, you always had some goofy fun like that. You don't see that anymore.
I actually brought that up when we worked at our former employer together, and they explained to me why they don't do that. They said, how would it look if we've got our weather guy dressed up like Frankenstein and acting all goofy, and then the very next story we have to talk about 500 people being killed in a terrorist explosion? They're like, it would dehumanize the news we're trying to tell.
That's when you let your producers do their job, and you go, okay, you know that weather guy is going to be goofy. Guess what we're surrounding the weather block with?
Right, but I'm just saying that was the justification our former employer gave me over why they... I mean, our former employer did nothing for Halloween. They didn't cover any local local parades or parties.
Or haunted houses or anything.
I remember when we were kids, you'd always watch the local news. And like the first 15 minutes, unless something major, big, you know, real news happened, Halloween night was going to the local haunted houses and having the reporter get scared by a zombie and stuff like that.
Exactly.
You remember that shit, don't you?
Oh yeah.
I miss that kind of jovial spirit, if for no other term.
Yep.
And they don't do that anymore. And it's, I don't know, it's disappointing how as Halloween grew in the popular culture, it shrank in the media. Does that make sense? Because you look at sitcoms nowadays. Look at dramas. How many shows nowadays have Halloween episodes any longer?
Look, the media, for most part, and this could be a whole other episode, so this is just going to be an aside in this one. But the media has lost its sense of fun. It's lost its sense of humor. It's very hard to find out there anymore outside of like animated shows or kids shows. It's really hard to find a news organization with a good sense of humor.
Not even that. Just going back to the media in general. Now, before the proliferation of cable, when most people still watched NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox, you'd see things for Halloween that you'd never see on a network today. Remember the real Ghostbusters? They had a one-hour Halloween special on ABC, prime time.
Sure.
That, you know, cartoons would have Halloween specials that would air in prime time. The only one I can think of that even comes close to that today is ABC still airing the Charlie Brown Halloween every year.
ABC airs the Charlie Brown Halloween. Cartoon Network has their has a couple of their, you know, like Scary Godmother. I'm talking network.
Okay, I'm not talking cable. I'm talking the networks.
Okay, the networks. Nah, not really. Not outside ABC.
I mean, the Garfield Halloween special. That hasn't been on TV since the 90s.
That is it's not available on DVD, at least.
It wasn't for the longest time. That's only been in the last couple of years.
That's
There was a gap of about a decade where it wasn't on TV and it wasn't on DVD. You had to go to eBay and find a VHS of that.
VHS, or you just bootlegged it.
I've got my original off-air beta.
But, speaking of which, I have some stuff for you.
And
anyway,
you'd never see a real Ghostbusters Halloween special on ABC at 8 p.m. nowadays.
No. Hell, you wouldn't see a Star Wars Halloween special.
They never had one.
I know they never had one.
You never see the Star Wars Christmas special, but then nobody wanted to see that in the first one.
Yeah. But that's another thing that, do you remember that it was always this time of year, you know, end of October through November and through December until about New Year's, you would always have the variety show specials.
The Paul Lynde special. You were talking about it right before. And now the only reason that is so remembered today, because I mean, of our audience, I'd honestly like to know how many of you know who the fuck Paul Lynde is without Wikipediaing it, okay? Right. I'd like to know how many of you know who Paul Lynde is. The Paul Lynde Halloween special from, I believe it was 76, was the first television appearance of Kiss. So that's why that's a pretty monumental moment for, you know, music.
Right.
This is the first time anyone saw Kiss.
Right.
You're never going to see that. But yeah, you saw those Halloween specials all the time. I've got one on tape called The Halloween Monster Bash that aired in first run syndication in the late 80s, starring like John Austin and Rhonda Shear before she was even on Up All Night.
Okay.
And you're never going to see things like that again.
No, but you don't see the variety show in general anymore.
Some people would argue that like the X Factor is, or America's Got Talent is a modern variety show.
No, those are talent shows. Those are karaoke concerts. I hate them. With the exception of America's Got Talent, because they're not just singers. They actually have some people who do some really weird stuff. And then when they get into the actual competition, I just shut it off and meh.
You only watch for the freaks?
Exactly. I watch for the weird stuff. And as
you don't
long
give
as
a shit who wins.
As long as there's some weird act or some cool act, I'm involved. If it's just people doing karaoke on a stage, fuck.
You just watch for the freak show.
Yeah, basically. But anyway.
Yeah, you don't have that.
Yeah, but you don't have, you know, where you know, we're spending a Halloween evening with Scott and Josh, and it's you and I and the fire going in the living room with the bearskin rug.
Big old jack-o'-lanterns.
Exactly, big old jack-o'-lanterns and fun. And all of a sudden, our neighborhood friend Betty White stops by for a comedy skit. And then, you know, Charlie McCarthy comes downstairs. And you know,
you don't even see the arguable, you know, I guess this qualifies for Saturday Night Live. I mean, it's got music and comedy and stuff, arguable. But, like, you used to see Saturday Night Live, if the episode aired, you know, if Saturday fell within one or two days or sometimes on Halloween,
right,
it would be a Halloween episode.
Right.
They'd have, like, in 1981, I've got the one on tape, hosted by Donald Pleasance and musical guest Fear. And it's like, you'd never see that today. I remember one of the times Patrick Swayze hosted it was the Halloween one.
Didn't Vincent Price host it on Halloween once?
No.
I mean, this is a long while back.
Yeah, I don't believe so. I don't think Vincent Price. Okay. Elvira used to stop by in the 80s. She used to have a part of the news one that Dennis Miller always did.
Yeah.
The name just escaped.
Weekend.
Weekend Update. Yeah. It fell out of my head. Elvira would always stop by and... like in 1981, Eddie Murphy did his militant white hating black character about why he loves horror movies because you get to see white people butchered and you know stuff like that, and you're never going to see anything like that anymore.
No, you don't. Of course, maybe you'll see it again when Saturday Night Live starts being funny again.
That's never going to happen.
You know why? Because all the writing talent went to Funny or Die. And I'm not kidding. Most of the Funny or Die writing pool is from SNL in its glory days. But yeah, you don't see. I miss that variety show. I really do, and I miss the specials this time of year because, you know, you always had like the Jonathan Winters Christmas special, too, And Red Skelton always put on a Red Skelton was one of those amazing men who could do a one man show with a bunch of characters, and by the end you've got that heartwarming feeling inside, and you want to cry a little bit.
But that's Christmas. We're not talking
Christmas. We're not talking Christmas. But he did a couple of Halloween ones that were genuinely had some scary parts, given for a very young me. But
I think he had Vampyra on once. I think I might even have that on tape or a bootleg of that.
That's possible.
I think I have a Red Skelton Elvira or Vampyra something. But then speaking of like Elvira, remember when she was everywhere this month? You know, you had Elvira Coors big standees in the stores because she was a Coors endorser. She was on every TV show you could think of.
My local arcade had the Elvira pinball machine.
Yeah, you had that. You had Elvira posters. You had Elvira all over the TV. You had the Elvira videos when she used to work for Thriller Video.
Sure.
You had Elvira on she was on Entertainment Tonight, and she was on every talk show she could be on. She'd stop by Saturday Night Live. She'd be on the NBC takeover special and all this, and Elvira was everywhere. Now, how many people really even know who Elvira is other than through references?
Well, to be fair, she's not aging well.
I think
she's still beautiful.
I think she made a huge mistake with the search for the next Elvira. The whole thing of I'm retiring and I'm franchising what Elvira is out to other actors to be Elvira. And you kind of go, you've lost the point that Elvira is a person, not a persona.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Cassandra Peterson, you missed the point of what Elvira became. You know, if you're going to retire, just retire. Don't retire and replace Elvira.
Exactly. One of the nice things that we can see, at least in the modern time, is that we do have stuff available online. We have a lot of horror hosts that put their stuff online. Mr. Lobo, who we interviewed quite a while back.
Yes.
I always look forward to what he does at Halloween because he kind of goes all out.
Hart Fisher's American Horrors channel.
Sure.
I mean, that's a channel that's designed for this month.
Yes.
You know?
And you can watch it for free.
Through
Halloween.
Go to filmon.com and get the American Horrors app.
See, didn't we talk about product placement last week?
I was just about to say, that's called a callback, motherfucker. That's a callback.
Exactly. But, you know, you've got Hart Fisher's American Horrors that's out there. And you've got plenty of resources online, but I miss the big productions. And I hate to say it, but the closest you come to the variety shows of old that I dearly loved, frankly, because you never know who is going to be there. And it's, I mean, let's face it, it's one of the few times you could see Debbie Harry singing a duet with Chewbacca. Which I realize that didn't happen, but it could.
It should. No, it should have. That should have happened, motherfucker.
I feel love.
Heart of glass. No, Chewbacca could take over the Fab Five Freddy part in Rapture.
There we go. But nonetheless, so, you know, decent. The closest you come to that is the parodies of it that
The Simpsons and stuff.
Family Guy. And
Simpsons
I know
always did that with Krusty. He always did that with Krusty, and he had his.
But believe it or not, the closest you come, and I know you hate him, I know you're not a fan, but is Family Guy. Really, he has, and I the Seth isn't it?
Seth MacFarlane.
Thank you, Seth MacFarlane has at least somewhere in his heart a love for that old variety entertainment, and so you see stars like Frank Sinatra Jr. making an appearance in that old kind of big band variety show type sound.
Lawrence
to
Welk.
It. Not really Lawrence. Lawrence Welk was always there for the adults, and he's still on the air on the PBS, and you can watch a show. It's a good time.
Yeah, well, if Romney gets elected, you know, there is no PBS.
Yeah, I know. But the deal is, that old big-time variety show still makes an appearance every now and then on Family Guy. And there have even been a couple of episodes where they've done send-ups of it, where, you know, they'll say a line and wait for the audience reaction of applause and pipe it in and stuff like that. So it's unfortunately a send-up, but
I honestly, and I hate to say this, but I do believe a modern audience would not sit for a variety show like that.
I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong.
I think they're too jaded. They're too ADD. They would need more than what these old... Because that Paul Lind Halloween special is a perfect example. When that was... every DVD review was like, this thing is terrible. This is awful. This is boring. It's so slow. And it's like, but it wasn't in 1976.
Right.
You're looking at this as a, you know, as a 20-year-old who wasn't even alive when this came out. I don't think a modern audience will sit still for this. I really don't.
They move at a much slower pace than modern television, but there is one thing that is making a comeback that makes me think that maybe one of these variety specials would do well on the air again, and that is that vaudeville is making a comeback. And vaudeville, short comedy acts, 5 or 6 acts in a night, you know, it's playing on small stages in places. But it is making a comeback. Vaudeville and burlesque both. I don't know why, but they are.
I don't think a modern audience would sit still for a variety show.
I think they would. I think the pacing would have to be picked up a little bit, but I think the time is right.
See, a perfect example would be like the NBC Lighting of the Christmas Tree special that they do every year. Those are close to a variety show in that style. And people don't like them. They're called boring and they're called ridiculous. And why is this not jazzier and whatnot? So right there, I think people are, they've turned their back on this format.
Look at the closing ceremony for the Olympics.
I didn't watch it. So
really, really honking long. Opening ceremony, really, really honking long, but well-paced, kept your interest, and it was done right. It was done with enough modern spectacle that it worked.
Well, what I want to see is this is something else we've lost in the conglomeration of cable. Remember when your local non-affiliated station, you know, your local indie station,
your local independence, yeah.
For us, Channel 32 and Channel 14,
Channel 59 in Indianapolis, yes.
They used to, because you'd supplement with movies, but in the pre-infomercial days, October, every horror movie you could think of was there. Yes, they were cut. But this is also in the pre-video era, you know, when this movie's not even out on video, even if you had a VCR.
Right.
So you're going to watch Videodrome
right.
on your local TV all
right.
cut up. And that had a certain feel. Basically, your indie station used to turn into Halloween headquarters for a month.
Yes.
I mean, I know you weren't here at the time, but in the 80s, Channel 32, holy crap balls. I mean, they would break out every Halloween episode of, especially the week before Halloween, every Halloween episode they had the syndicated rights to, every horror movie they could. They had little Halloween interstitials, you know, like a little laughing pumpkin. Happy Halloween from I think they were WXGZ then. WXGZ, Channel 32, and, you know, stuff. Nobody does that anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody even acknowledges Happy Halloween with the little animated GIFs anymore.
Well,
nobody does that.
I remember.
I love those.
WXIN, it's now WNDY, I think. But WXIN, back at the time, 59, when they were an independent station, yeah, they had the laughing Halloween, you know, their whole graphics set for everything would change. And so even their
you'd have the little bats on the little coming up next week
yeah,
on this.
Yeah.
And it'd be the little bat on the 8 p.m. or
exactly,
Wednesday or
exactly. Or you'd have cobwebs in the time or something
yeah,
like that.
The channels just don't do that anymore.
No, and they don't.
It's sad. It really sad.
I think part of that is a very vocal minority. And that is that we mentioned this in the politics, how somehow Christianity and religion have gotten into the Republican Party like mad.
Most Christians I know celebrate Halloween, though.
I know, but there's always that vocal minority that don't. And this was part of why WXIN quit, was because it's a small community, but it's a vocal community of right wing Christians and Jehovah's Witnesses and such that do not, you know, Seventh-day Adventists and such that just do not celebrate Halloween. It's a vocal community down there. And so they used to send hate mail to the station.
Can I throw a small plug in?
Sure.
YouTube under the name Rare Video Trader. I have a lot of these old promos and whatnot on my YouTube channel if anyone's interested in seeing them.
They're definitely worth checking out. There are a lot of
I've got a whole bunch of weird shit, old promos from different networks and whatnot. Rare Video Trader, all as one word on YouTube, is my channel or whatever.
And you do have some fun stuff up there.
So I just wanted to...
I don't care if you plug your own stuff. Yeah. That's cool.
And I just... It does sadden me. It really does when you look at especially modern TV or even modern movies. It kind of sickened me for the 7 years in a row. It's Halloween. It's time for Saw. Saw is not really a Halloween movie, is it?
No.
You know, and no. It was a new one of them every year. And, you know, that was part of their ad campaign. If it's Halloween, it must mean Saw, you know, next Roman numeral. And it's like, oh, come on. I mean, you used to see them pushing all the horror movies at Halloween. Now they push horror movies at summer. Because, you know, when I want to see an atmospheric movie that takes place in October about a monster ripping people's heads off, June. That's when I want to see that. June.
See, but there's a fair amount of horror movies that are coming out this month or that have come out by the time this hits air.
Not as many as there used to be.
Not as many as there used to be, but they're still out
maybe,
there.
Maybe we're waiting for Valentine's Day to go see those, huh? Well, if the 20th Century Fox executive can be trusted.
What was the one? Was it My Sweet Valentine or whatever? The Valentine's Day themed horror movie?
My Bloody Valentine. It was a 1981 film, and they remade it a couple of years ago as a 3D.
Yep. Brilliant.
Basically, you name any holiday, it's had a slasher movie made about it. Oh, usually a slasher, not a monster.
Yep.
But there's been a slasher movie made over. I mean, you pick any holiday.
One of my favorites, Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah, about that. Sure. But so I want to say we kind of deviated from our history of Halloween, but we did give you guys a little bit of a history of how we got to this point. And I think part of the degradation is just the callousness of the modern viewer that
but
this,
I think it will come back.
I just don't think people are going to sit still for this kind of stuff.
I think
anymore.
It will come back. I think it will come back. I think Halloween will make a big comeback. It will change as it always does. But I am hopeful for the future of this holiday.
Oh, and also go to geekjuicemedia.com. I have a video that I edited. It's called Flipping Channels One Halloween Night. I took all those old promos and those stuff and I put like static in between each one, just like, so it's like 20 minutes of, you know, 20 seconds or a minute of something. And, sweet. You know, of just like somebody flipping through channels late on Halloween night in the 80s. That was my little throwback that I did. And that's on geekjuicemedia.com.
That's cool.
And, you know, if you guys want to see my interpretation of my memories of what Halloween used to be. And I think it was a fun little video. But
it really was.
So, to wrap up, Halloween used to be fun. It can still be fun. But there are too many people that cheapen, is that the right word, the holiday nowadays?
I don't know if it's really cheapen.
It cheapens it for me.
I think, yeah, there's still something, there's something missing that the media used to celebrate a whole lot more, and now they just kind of disregard, you know.
It's kind of weird how much Halloween is in the pop culture, yet is ignored in pop culture simultaneously. It's really strange.
Right. You go shopping early in October, and you see the big Halloween thing. Of course, now that Halloween is around, they're gone, and the Christmas is up already.
But you go to any store, no matter what product they sell, they've either got a Halloween-themed aisle or something to do with Halloween.
Right.
Even the Christian stores.
Oh, yeah.
They have the anti-Halloween stuff, which still qualifies as Halloween stuff.
Yep.
In a strange, roundabout way.
Yep. So anyway, go to 1201beyond.com, click on our Amazon links, check out some of the stuff that we've got some great horror stuff in there. Thanks a bunch for joining us, everybody. Final thought, Josh? Yeah, we're done. Thank you very much, everybody. We will see you next week. And it's good to be back after a month. Yay!